You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair on this occasion, and I'm joined by Tom Morley to look back at some of Saturday's action, to look ahead to some of Sunday's action, and to generally just have a really good chat. Mr. Morley, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
We're recording this just after 3 o'clock on Saturday, and about half an hour ago, I was taken aback by just how good Harry Angel was in the Sprint Cup. That was
a procession.
One heck of a performance.
It was. If I'm going to be a tiny bit critical, maybe, how good are the horses in behind?
Yeah.
But let's actually focus on the plus side. And the bottom line is Harry Angel basically led from start to finish and quickened, well, probably quickened is the wrong word, but whilst the others slowed down more markedly, he just bounded on,
yeah,
and extended the advantage all the way to the line. And you know, if there was a slight question mark over the ground, I'm not sure how. I haven't seen any times or anything, so I don't really know how soft the ground is at Haydock today. It doesn't actually look to be kicking up hugely compared to sometimes. But you know, there was a question mark over that. Tazleet, I thought, was the horse that would, if there were any chinks in Harry Angel's armour, would be the one to take advantage. And ultimately, that came second, you know. So yeah. I think, if you like, the right horse came right behind. I was a little bit surprised by the amount of money there'd been for Brando earlier in the week. I couldn't see why Brando was anything special over Tazleet or even the Tin Man, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, Harry Angel still pulls. I mean, could anyone have taken him on today and made him perhaps pull a bit harder? Though that possibly would have been sacrificing themselves, maybe to the benefit of others. And you know, no one wants to be a sacrificial lamb, really.
No.
So yeah, I'm with you. You can't. I mean, what can you say? Well, it was just a great performance.
I thought about backing the horse, didn't, and I think that's because of the perceived ground concerns.
Yeah.
But then when you actually watch the race, and then you look back and you just go, oh, well, that was a bit silly.
Yeah, because it had the best form in the book, didn't it, by far. And you've got to think, if it goes to Champions Day at Ascot, you know, the second places at Ascot got to have a chance to end that run of seconds anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great performance.
And I'm really warming to the horse. There are some horses that you like from the start.
Yeah.
There are some that you...
Learn to love?
Yeah, it's not necessarily that you dislike them at any stage. Although there are a few that you are
There's plenty I dislike.
But you know what I mean? And with Harry Angel, it appears to be just sort of a gradual dawning on everyone that, hang on, he's pretty special.
Yes, and I think when a horse basically serves it up to the opposition like he does, I think that is quite a lovable trait, really, because you nail your colours to the mast, don't you, early doors in every race? You know what you're going to get. And there's no hiding.
No. Now, as for the rest of this podcast, listeners will know, if you've been tuning in for the past week or so, that we've changed it a little bit. And I'm going to talk to Tom now about his life. This is your life, Tom.
This is my life.
Who used to present that? Was it Michael?
Aspel.
Aspel. Is he going to come in, do you reckon, with a big red book?
I suspect only if it's after 9 o'clock in the evening.
Possibly. make of that what you want. Now, you own a number of horses.
Yes.
And some listeners will know that and some won't. But they are in a couple of different silks, a couple of different colours.
That's right. Some run in orange and purple quarters, green sleeves and cap, which are effectively my colours. Mm-hmm. And then my mother's are yellow and black. of which pattern I can't even think off the top of my head. Generally, I know when they're running, so I don't even take much notice. But and there's lots of yellows and blacks around, whereas yes. there's less of mine, so mine are quite easy to spot.
And you've got how many horses at the minute?
I'd say around double figures. A couple will go to the sales, consulting and Just Us Two almost certainly will go to the sales at the end of October. But there'll be hopefully some new ones as well, if I can outbid the masses from home and abroad.
Are you looking at newcomers or are you looking at
horses in training?
Okay, right.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be getting involved in the yearling sales, which is exceptionally expensive.
Yeah,
and quite frequently, even more frequently than most times, money into the dustbin. So no,
risky.
Yes,
very yeah, risky.
I'll try and buy from what I've seen with my own eyes, as opposed to a bit of what's on a bit of paper.
Okay.
But hopefully, we can get some joy at the end of October and add a few more.
Now, when did you first start owning horses?
I think it was 1999.
Oh right. Okay.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say probably the last 7-8 years, the numbers have properly multiplied and the quality of horses generally has improved that we've tried to get. At the end of the day, a good horse eats no more than a bad horse.
That's true.
In fact, some would argue they might see the vet less than some of the bad horses as well. So
low maintenance.
Exactly. So, you know, a bit more quality is the way forward. You know, it is a very costly enterprise and one that effectively every penny we put into it we write off.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get some
bonus. Yeah.
Hopefully we get some back and I'd say going to the sales and things, it's almost a bit like an addiction in a way, in that you just want to try and purchase another horse that one can either improve through maybe the different training with the trainers I use, or just with age, or try a different thing. But that is what gets me going rather than going to the races, which I don't particularly have much appetite for most of the time.
That's interesting, though, because it's almost like you're looking at it purely from a...
ego?
No, because it's not, but it's... Well, as you were saying that, it made me think of some kind of property developer or someone who's just like, oh, I like that one, so I'll have that and I'll make that a little bit nice and that'll go nicely there. And then I might sell it in a few years. Or, you know, it's a business.
I do view them as commodities. I'm afraid my heart's not involved. I don't often go and see them. Mm. I go to the races a few times, which is probably more to satisfy maybe my mother who, you know, if we've just spent a load of money, might actually want to see what she's just purchased.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more than happy to sit at home and watch them on TV because they don't run any quicker if I go. And it's a lot easier to watch at home. You actually probably can see a lot more. And, you know, so it is a bit weird. I mean, most people would, I'm sure, one of the biggest thrills for most owners would be to go and watch their horses in person and enjoy that side of it, which, to be honest, really doesn't get me going very much.
I know the answer to this, but listeners may not. Do you back your own horses?
Very rarely, despite what people might automatically, for instance, associate with the fact that I have horses with Stuart Williams, for instance. I would say I've backed my own horses, I can't think, probably more than 5 times in the last 18 months.
Okay. But if you do, then we should take note, yeah?
You won't know if I have.
Are you going to tell me?
You won't know if I have. That's the problem. A lot of the time, the betting would appear to suggest that I might have, but I'm looking at it going, who on earth is backing that horse today?
Yeah.
Because I don't fancy it at all for various reasons. And other times, the horses do drift, and I'm looking and thinking, that's quite a big price.
Mm. Okay. Can you remember the first ever winner?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was a horse called Clopton Green.
Where?
It was at Southall.
Okay.
It was either December the 31st or January the 1st. I can't remember it, but it was the first day, I believe. Oh, my memory's terrible, so I hope I'm not making all this up. I believe it was the first day that Rails bookmakers were allowed to actually put prices on their boards.
Okay.
Well, that's about all I remember from it. George Baker rode it when he was an apprentice. And, yeah, it wasn't a very good horse, but it was named after the farm, the family farm.
Okay, right.
Which I'd bought it at the Breeze Ups was it Breezeups? I think it was the Breezeups. I bought it about 6-7 months before, and my father had told me that under no circumstances was I to go and buy a horse, and it took me 6 months to tell him I had bought one, and then I thought I better tell him, as it's named after the farm and someone will grass me up.
Yeah. So. And if you had to, I know this is a difficult question. If you had to choose one horse as your favourite of all time.
That I've owned?
Yes, that you've owned.
Possibly, bizarrely, Tabor, who was about my second horse even, maybe. Just because he was such an old rogue. And he should have won heaps more races, really. But if a normal horse needs 5 things to go right in a race to win, he needed about 20.
Right.
And that, therefore, didn't happen very often. But he did go on, and he ran 100 and whatever times. And did he win 10 in the end? I can't remember. But okay. he could have won a few more. His career did pick up, to be honest, once he moved to Robert Cowles. But he had learned a lot of tricks by then. And
yes.
To be honest, even once he retired, he stayed living at Robert's, and he caused no end of trouble. He led a lot of horses astray.
Now, I'm fascinated that you said that, because if I was betting on what you'd have said, I'd have thought Gold Dream or
Prohibit.
Yeah, of course.
Or Outback Traveller. Hard to like Outback Traveller. I know he won the Wokingham, but let's be honest, he's barely raised a hoof in every race other than that.
Maybe he just knows.
Well,
you know.
Well, I'd have liked him to have won again.
He knows what's going on. He'll pop up one day.
Yeah.
Just enjoying himself for the time being.
Yeah. That's why he can't go to the sales, because he probably will pop up one day, and that would have been just after.
Yes.
Obviously I like Gold Dream and I like Prohibit, because that was the first really decent horse.
Yeah.
But no, I think... Yeah, back in the day when... Canadian Danehill, I loved him.
Yeah.
He won a lot of races, to be fair, and he wasn't a bad old stick. So I'd say Tabor and Canadian Danehill would still be my favourite horses.
And final question. Have you any runners coming up in the next few days or so that we should keep an eye on?
Do you know what? I don't... Oh, I'm not sure if they'll run, though, because of the ground. I think Gold Dream and Encore Dora entered at... Leicester, is it, on Tuesday in a conditions race? But that's got to be ground dependent.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, neither of them like soft ground. Other than that, no, it's a bit blank, to be honest.
Okay. As for tomorrow's racing, and this is nothing to do with you. You've got nothing in tomorrow, have you?
No.
Anywhere? No. It's a day of two halves, shall we say. Racing at Listowel and Fontwell for jumps fans, and York and the Curragh for flat fans.
And a bit of Shanty.
A bit of Shanty as well. There really is something for everyone, isn't
there?
Now,
lots of fake arc trials.
Well,
at slow pace.
Thing is, though, this Curragh card tomorrow is sensational. And we're not going to go into it in too much detail, but you've got the Moyglare at 3:40. You've got the National Stakes at 4:15. And at 4:50, you've got the Irish Ledger. That is mentioning a few of them. You've got the Flying Five as well, which Caravaggio is running in. It's a superb day of racing. Now, let's just say, for argument's sake, that you take Caravaggio in the 3:05.
Yeah.
In the 3:40, you take one of Aidan O'Brien's. Now, that's the difficult one, if that makes sense. But people are going to be looking for O'Brien Ackers.
Yeah.
Gustav Klimt in the 4:15, and in the 4:50, Order of St. George.
Yeah.
Even the 3, if you like. Take that hard race
out. And if you added the 2:35 race as well, you could pick one of the two in that, or three,
yeah,
I think there are, but there's...
There's certainly enough.
Yeah.
Could you put me off... Let's focus on the shorties.
Okay.
So that's Gustav Klimt.
Yep.
Order of St. George and Caravaggio. Is that a good thing?
I think I'll do it reverse. So Order of St. George, I'm struggling to see anything beating that.
Yep.
Gustav Klimt.
No, not a fan?
No, it's not. I'm not a fan, because the way it actually managed to win last time, you know, I overcame all sorts, didn't it?
Mm.
But I do quite like that Beckford.
Okay. Which is the only logical danger, really.
Yeah, it is. You know, should be suited by the 7 furlongs. Only just giving best to Sioux Nation last time. So I don't necessarily think that's straightforward. I think Beckford can certainly give Gustav Klimt a real run for its money. I don't know what price Beckford will be come race time.
It's around about 4 to 1.92 as we record this.
You're almost pushing into, you know, each way.
Yeah.
Territory.
Maggoting.
Yes.
Yeah, but I can see that. So you're saying that you would not be backing...
I wouldn't be surprised if Gustav Klimt won.
Yeah.
But I think Beckford's... I think it's a short price because I think Beckford is actually a pretty decent horse.
Okay. There's incredible racing at the Curragh. Sir Anthony McCoy has previewed some of the action, and Andy Holding will be sending a podcast over in the morning as well. So make sure you go to the William Hill podcast page and check out the videos and everything, because it is absolutely stunning. But we're going to focus on York. And in terms of your strongest bet of the day, I know we're looking at the 3 o'clock and the 5:20, which is the next best, if you like. We'll start with that one.
The next best, I mean, the 3 o'clock is the 6 furlong listed race, which is the best race on the card at York. And you've got a few horses here that have tried their luck. You've got Lancelot du Lac, who obviously won the Stewards' Cup on softish ground. I think it will be going softish, surely, at York with the weather around us at the moment.
Yes, looking out the window, grim,
yes,
is the word in Leeds on Saturday.
You know, they were surprised that handled the soft ground at Goodwood. So I'm going to oppose that one. Don't Touch has not been quite good enough for group races. I don't think Intersarb would really want it cut in the ground. Mm. Downforce seems best suited by 6 or 7. Huge progress in the last 18 months. Only run 3 times this year. Winning on seasonal debut, a listed race on heavy at Cork in April. Failed to shine at Navan, got outclassed at the Curragh. But we haven't seen it since. And that just is a slight concern for me. And I'm actually going to be loyal, bearing in mind I also think Steady Pace will possibly want faster ground, and that could actually have been a potentially quite a logical choice in the race, but I do think that will need quicker ground to show its best. So I'm going to be loyal to one of my trainers and go with Ornate, who I just think didn't get home at Newmarket last time over 6 furlongs, but this sharper track will help. Has been best over 5 furlongs, but if could make a bold bid from the front here, I think 6 furlongs at York. We know York favours front-end runners. Possibly wouldn't want it too soft, but I think Ornate has got a pretty decent chance to shine in this race.
Okay, so that's sort of the next best, if you like.
Yeah.
It's a decent shout, but the best bet is coming in the finale, the 5:20, 6 furlongs the trip. It's a handicap. I'm just trying to see if there's anything obvious
like?
That I could guess that I like. I'm going to say... I've got an idea.
Have you? Hey, go on.
I like the top one.
I like the top one,
oh,
too.
Good. Well done. Hey, honestly, listeners, this isn't scripted. That sounded awfully pained and scripted, but no. Dakota Gold, tell us why.
Really nice progressive three-year-old. Began in April, winning off 79 at Thirsk over 5 furlongs. Finished really well that day. Came second at Redcar before coming to this track in July and winning over slightly shorter than today. That was on softish ground, so any rain would be no issue. Went up £6 for that. Came second at Newmarket. Only just beaten, well clear of the third. A good run, as he was keen, to be honest, that day.
Mm.
Has gone up another £4 for that, but I just think you can't knock this progressive profile. Just keeps finding more and more and should keep improving. I guess the main dangers for me would be Hee Haw, who was a 38 grand purchase for this yard in July. Turned over at short prices both first 2 starts for the yard, but then showed more at Ripon before winning 2 weeks ago there. And I can see that one could be progressive as time goes by. Gnad's an interesting horse. Won a couple of races in the spring. Always had a habit of finding trouble. But unseated on its debut for this yard, then has won twice at Fosslass and Sandown. Both races were over 5. Can understand the step up in trip at this course, handles the softish ground. So they would be my 2 main dangers. But I think Dakota Gold's just got a really nice progressive profile.
Okay. Dakota Gold then, the best bet on the York card, we'll say that much.
Yes.
Because obviously Tom is in the naps table, and if he goes and naps something at Fontwell tomorrow, I don't want everyone going, hang on.
I can guarantee I won't be napping anything at Fontwell. Well, but you never know, in Ireland I might.
Yes, quite possibly. Right, well, thank you very much for talking to me, Tom. Best of luck with all your selections, the 2 of them.
Thank you.
On Sunday, and enjoy all the action. Promises to be an absolute cracker. And the same to you, listeners. We'll catch up with you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.